Hello, all of you. Welcome back to another episode of Topics of Taboo, the Raw and Honest podcast, where we unpack, educate, and attempt to erase the stigma surrounding taboo topics. I'm your host, Megan Dykeman. And in today's episode, I'm going to be telling you all about my ADHD diagnosis. I finally got diagnosed with adult ADHD last Thursday. And yeah, just wanted to chat about it a bit, go in depth, and like sort of speak about the symptoms that I had and why I decided to explore, getting a diagnosis, what led me there. And, I'll answer some of your questions as well, cause there was a few of you were in my DMs when I announced that I was finally diagnosed. So I'm going to be answering those questions too. I do want to preface this episode by saying that, any of the symptoms I mention, if you experience those too, I'm definitely not diagnosing you with ADHD as well. You can definitely experience what I did in the absence of ADHD. I'm just telling my story, and my personal experience and the symptoms that I experienced that now have led to a diagnosis and were probably the reason why I was experiencing those symptoms. So I guess we'll start back probably at the start of COVID, like lockdown. I guess we all sort of spent a lot more time with ourselves. TikTok quickly became our main source of entertainment. There was obviously a lot of content on there to consume. We all had lots of fun with dances, and I guess it all felt pretty comforting because we were all stuck in our rooms at home, unsure of everything that was going on in the world. But we all had TikTok and we were all on there and, you know, seeing the same trends and things like that. So after a while, I ended up slowly on a portion of my For You page, at least, was ADHD, and people that had been diagnosed with it and symptoms of undiagnosed females. And yeah, just a lot of information on it. And, you know, not to self-diagnose, even though I did a little bit. I don't know, the For You page seems to know people very well. It seems to know people are gay before they even know. Nah. But you know, the For You page, it is very specific to you and it's tailored to you. And I then started questioning why I was seeing all of this ADHD content, because it was never something that crossed my mind genuinely until, like, looking back on my life now and thinking about different things that I've experienced. I never really thought that, especially growing up. I didn't really struggle in school. There were a few things now that I will touch on, but I never really struggled with grades. I was quite social. I wasn't too hyperactive. All that, like, hallmark characteristics of ADHD that we're taught or that we're seen stereotypically, I didn't really have them. And then I obviously was able to mask a lot of the symptoms I did have and didn't realize I was masking them at the time. So yeah, we'll touch on that. But so yeah, about this time 2 years ago, I started seeing ADHD content surface in my For You page and I started relating to stuff. I started writing things down in my notes and recognizing symptoms of ADHD in myself, that people that had been diagnosed with ADHD were experiencing. And I was like, okay, didn't say anything, sort of popped it to the back of my brain. Until I was speaking to one of my friends who was diagnosed with ADHD a couple of years ago. And yeah, I was just discussing my symptoms and I was like, oh, I'm thinking about looking into it. You know, I've got this, 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 and this. And she highly recommended her psychiatrist, who I ended up seeing. That's who I saw last week. I actually went through a bit of a process with my psychologist. She was able to do some tests on me, which I scored. I think I spoke about this in a previous episode, but I scored highly on 2 out of 3 of the tests. But in order for her to give me a proper diagnosis, I had to score high in this test, which was about your childhood. And I am almost 26, so that was more than a decade ago. And it's really difficult to remember, like, certain aspects or certain comments your teachers made when primary school was so, so long ago. That's why I would highly recommend seeing an adult ADHD psychiatrist if you are an adult and you would like a diagnosis, because unfortunately, the psychologist I was seeing, had to rely on that and couldn't give me a diagnosis through that. So it's been a long time coming. I was on the wait list for this psychiatrist for a good, I would say, 6 months. And even then, it was really, really difficult to get in with him. So when I eventually saw him and he went through all my tests, I still had to do a bunch of tests. I did them, completed them online and sent them through, late November last year. And he read through all of them, made comments, and that's sort of what we spoke through on Thursday. But yeah, basically he diagnosed me almost like as soon as I walked into the room, honestly, within 5 minutes of talking, we were already discussing possible medication options. Like I was like, oh, so we're just going to skip past the whole, you have ADHD. No, it wasn't that quick, but he said without a doubt, like all the symptoms and everything I'd listed, the things I had realized that I actually did have trouble with. He explained an ADHD brain to me in like psych terms, because I've studied psychology and on a molecular biological level, it's really like easy for me to understand. So he like sort of showed me the difference between a neurotypical brain and an ADHD brain and the differences in levels of dopamine and how they interact and all those things. And it just made so much sense. And some symptoms that I had experienced and didn't realize were linked to ADHD were confirmed, and that made me feel very valid. I think the whole experience for me was very validating, to know that I finally had an answer and that I do find things harder than others, and this is the reason. Like I actually have a chemical imbalance, or like my brain doesn't naturally produce as much dopamine as other people around me, hence why I do struggle to focus on tasks, or I do struggle to keep my room clean and many, many other things. But it's nice to know that there's a reason, and most importantly, that there's something I can do to make my life a lot easier, especially with everything I have on my plate. I'm actually very surprised and so proud of myself, which I feel like we don't say enough. I'm so proud of myself for actually doing so much. I literally have a full-time job. I also do social media. I have a dog. I have a boyfriend. I have housemates. I have so much on my plate. I don't know how I haven't had a mental breakdown. Like being diagnosed with anxiety, being diagnosed with celiac disorder, so many other things on my mind. And now ADHD. And I somehow have managed all of it for almost 26 years. It's wild. So I want to briefly talk about the reasons, I guess, or the symptoms I was experiencing, because I have a whole like long list of notes of things that I experienced that I have later found out may have been linked to my ADHD. And I spoke through these with my psychiatrist as well. And I've put a tick next to the things that have been scientifically proven in people with ADHD as symptoms. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. I'm very easily distracted. I always have been. In report cards from primary school, which mum and I looked back on, my grades were fine. They weren't amazing, but like they were good. Most teachers always said I could have been less distracting and I could have talked less, because I would always be talking to my friends instead of doing my work, and I would somehow get the work done. But yeah, I was always talking. I rewatch TV shows a lot. That's a massive ADHD symptom. But oh my goodness, it's something about it's comfort. There's comfort in knowing what's going to happen. And I really like get to know the characters. And I just, there is nothing more comforting to me than rewatching a good TV show. I'm sorry. That's how I've always been. Or movie. I really struggled to keep my room clean. I am extremely self-aware, and I actually didn't know till I saw my psychiatrist that this is another major symptom and sign of ADHD, especially in women, being extremely self-aware of what's going on in your body, almost knowing what's wrong. I'm always introspecting. I'm always very aware of as soon as something feels off in my body, I investigate it straight away and I like get to the bottom of it. I don't just like let it go. So I'm always very aware of myself and how I'm feeling. I'm extremely forgetful of events. I misplace items all the time. I actually lost my work phone today, which would have been awful. I forget events. I have to have reminders on my phone for appointments. I forget to pay bills. I feel very overwhelmed at the supermarket. I always have. It's always been a very anxiety-inducing thing for me. Hate it. Still hate it. just very overstimulating. Like, there's a lot of noise and it's very bright and there's people that get in your way and oh my God, it's just so annoying to me. And that's a massive, massive ADHD symptom. Road rage, no patience. I used to crave sweet things a lot. Like, always craving sweet food is another big one. Taking a second or two to understand what someone has said. I've actually noticed this in videos of myself recently, especially when I was recording stuff for YouTube. If there was a few of us doing a collab and someone said something, everyone else in the room would get it immediately. And my brain, you could just see my brain working overtime to understand it. And I can't not notice that now. I find myself retelling stories over and over because I forget who I've told. I often had fatigue and felt very burnt out even after like a hiatus. So I'd take like 2 or 3 weeks off YouTube, I'd get back into it for a week and be completely burnt out because my body was working overtime just to do half of what someone else could do, you know, easily. I experienced hyperfixation, so I'll get really obsessed with a certain food or a certain activity or something for a week or two, and then I just will drop it and probably never do it again. Same with hobbies. I'll like buy something and be like, yeah, I'm gonna do that, crochet that, paint this, and then it'll often just end up dusty in my room. I have really, really poor time management and I'm also time blind. So in terms of time management, I'm really, really bad. Like, I have to have a really structured life or everything goes to shit. And I have time blindness, so I don't realize how long it takes me to do something. I get lost in tasks, and I also think that if I have an appointment at 2 p.m. and I'm like, you know, up and about at 10, I genuinely think I have to get ready then, even though I've literally got 4 hours. And I don't know, it's so random. And there's something else that I can't quite grasp, the concept of time itself. So there's been so many occasions where I've said something to Fraser and genuinely thought it was 3 weeks ago or a month ago. And Fraser will be like, that was 6 months ago. I have no concept of how much time has passed. Day to day, like minutes or hours, yes. But like, in the grand scheme of things, especially in the past, no, definitely not. Feeling very overwhelmed with replying to text messages, either texting, replying, or not at all. Having to set alarms and still ignoring alarms and reminders to take medication. I found that really difficult with Lexapro. I've been on Lexapro for generalized anxiety for probably 4 or 5 months now. And there'll be days where it gets to like 6 p.m. and I haven't taken it. And I'm like, oh my God. And I seriously do have three reminders on my phone that go off every single day. But ADHD is like seeing that but ignoring it and telling yourself you do it later and then you totally forget. Interestingly enough, when I saw my psychiatrist, he said that a new study had been published that basically revealed that 40% of people with celiac disease also have ADHD, all those who have been diagnosed at least, which is a very interesting gut-brain link. But yeah, so I don't know if that has something to do with mine. It probably does. In saying that, before these individuals were diagnosed with ADHD, undiagnosed celiac and gluten intolerance can actually exacerbate your ADHD symptoms, which makes a whole lot of sense for the list that I'm about to read out. Because prior to cutting gluten out of my diet, these were some other ADHD symptoms that have really calmed down since. Even prior to going on medication last week, I was very easily agitated and my mood swings were extreme when I was still eating gluten, like really, really bad. I'd shut down emotionally at the smallest thing. I was always on. I found it very hard to relax. The social exhaustion was huge. I was always tired, highly anxious, easily annoyed, and my emotional sensitivity was, oh my God, off the charts. And then, yeah, so those things have really, really calmed down since cutting out gluten. I still do zone out during some conversations and forget what I'm saying mid-sentence. I can't finish tasks without any distractions. I'm either really hyper-focused and that's all I focus on, or I just get distracted. Like, it's kind of like a zigzag. Instead of having like a goal and focusing on anything you can do to complete it, I sort of have to go off task and do a million other things before I can finish. Yeah, it's really exhausting. Getting bored easily. I get bored very easily. I reread the same sentence over and over in books. Loud sounds and people in supermarkets overwhelm and annoy me, and I overshare. which is very helpful for social media because people love hearing about your life and being real and transparent, and I have no issues doing that. But yeah, those, I feel like I just said a million different symptoms. There's probably more, and there's definitely some I've forgotten, but they are the main symptoms that I experienced that affected my life or affected my ability to function daily enough for me to seek some sort of help, guidance, or a diagnosis, which is what I got in the end. So yeah. And yeah, I guess wanted to open up a little bit about it and say that if it's something that you've been thinking of, I highly, highly recommend you get the ball rolling. Even if it does take some time, you may as well get on a wait list. You may as well get a referral and try and see someone because it can take time for that diagnosis. But I can't tell you how good it's been. I mean, obviously medication isn't for everyone, but I cannot tell you the mental clarity that I've experienced over the past week since beginning ADHD medication, because I've been prescribed dexamphetamine and Vyvanse. So one is short acting and one's long acting. So your Vyvanse is like 10 to 12 hours and it takes about 2 hours for it to start working. Dexamphetamines last 3 to 4 hours and they can start working within 30 minutes of taking them. So the only issue is dexamphetamines contain wheat, which is of course glutinous, which I'm of course not meant to have as a celiac. But when it comes to pharmaceuticals, there is a level or an amount, a trace element, if you will, of gluten that we are allowed to have until we reach a certain threshold. So having one dexamphetamine a day is fine at the moment. But if I were to up my dose, then that really wouldn't be feasible. So I've been having like one Dexy in the morning because it's fast acting. It gets me up out of bed and ready to start the day and my work day. And then I'll have a Vyvanse a little bit later on to take me through the rest of the afternoon. Just because after healing my gut and you know, like doing everything right in that respect, I don't particularly want to go backwards. It doesn't matter how much gluten you have, whether it's a trace amount or like a full-on loaf of bread, it's still, in celiacs, will do damage. So yeah, I don't want to take any risks there, really. But that's where I'm at in terms of taking medication. I can't even describe to you the difference I'm feeling. I do have a very dry mouth. That is one of the side effects of medication. I am so thirsty and my mouth is dry 25/7. Not me drinking like 100 times during this episode. But other than that, I experienced a calm mind for the first time in almost 26 years on Thursday afternoon. And I nearly cried because I have not, when I tell you, I have not been able to think of one singular thought at once ever in my entire life. I constantly have a million thoughts running through my mind, a million tasks I need to complete, and by when, and what I'm wearing tomorrow, and what I'm wearing that night, and what I'm going to do when I get home, and like a list of endless tasks in my mind. And for once, like the whole, all of that noise just like went really quiet. And I was able just to think of one thing at a time, hold one conversation and actually be present and not, you know, float away off somewhere else. I can't even describe to you how I just feel so valid in finally having that diagnosis and getting the help I need and now helping myself with medication and with other tasks as well, such as like meditation and things like that that I've been tasked with as well. But yes, I would highly, highly recommend looking into it. So now I'm just going to answer some of your questions about it. So one of you said, I'm stressing on how I can complete school with ADHD. What do I do? If you are worried about that and that it is affecting your grades or your schooling, you should definitely look into getting a diagnosis, because even an ADHD coach, a psychiatrist, definitely there's people out there that can help you and with school as well. School is definitely important, and people with ADHD, honestly, a lot of us suffer in silence and just just think, you know, why is it so much harder to learn? Why do I need to try twice as hard? And there's a scientific reason for that. So yeah, if you are stressed about that, I would definitely seek some help, some advice, because yeah, you definitely don't have to struggle alone, and you definitely don't have to be working so hard or so much harder than others. You can definitely help yourself. Someone said, how difficult do you find it living with ADHD? Funnily enough, it wasn't that difficult until I realized it was difficult, if that makes sense. Like, I always thought I was doing fine. I mean, to be fair, I was always probably the most burnt out and like exhausted of all my mates. You know, like as soon as I get into bed, I'm lights out. Like, I can't stay up and watch a movie. And I think that was a massive indication of how much my body was being overworked. But I didn't realize that until I was diagnosed and until my psychiatrist like told me that's why, because my body all day was go, 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 go from head to toe, like literally brain to toe. And then as soon as I got the opportunity to shut down and just relax, because my body associated and my mind associates bed with sleep, it just shuts down because it needs that rest. It needs the full 8 hours to, you know, recuperate and get ready for the next full on day. I mean, I found it difficult in that some days I could not go to the supermarket to do my own shopping. Like, Fraser would have to do it. I couldn't finish a task because I got halfway through it and then it was way too much for me and I just had to abandon it. Or, you know, late for appointments, forgetting appointments, you know, like not being able to just concentrate on one thing, having a messy room, then that contributing to my mental health, like it all builds up. It wasn't, you know, impossible. I've still lived a pretty good life. I've done a lot of things and I've managed to do a lot of things, but was it harder than it could have been? Yeah. Probably. I found uni, like I felt like I had to work doubly as hard as my peers. Like I had to rewatch lectures twice, maybe three times to understand what they could have after watching it once, you know. So it was difficult in that respect, but I don't think it's been as hard for me as possibly others with ADHD. And that doesn't take away from my, you know, diagnosis or my struggles at all. But I think I have been able to work through it and with it a lot easier than others, perhaps. Any early symptoms when you were a teen? I probably mentioned most of them before in my extensive list of ADHD symptoms. Restless leg is another one. I don't think I mentioned that, but I've always had that bouncing leg, nervous energy. When I was a teen, yeah, I probably like spoke a lot, distracted others a little bit, was a little bit inattentive. I would like often in class be looking at the teacher but not really like hearing what was going, like it was going in one ear out the other and I was zoning out, even though I was like it looked like I was paying attention but I wasn't. And I didn't really realize I was daydreaming or doing that. I was kind of just bored, but I guess if I looked around other classmates, everyone was kind of listening and I was listening but not taking it in, if that makes sense. So they were probably the only real things in high school. What's the process of getting a diagnosis like? I got that question a little bit. Hard, long, lengthy, but worth it. And mine wasn't even that long. Like, I've heard people that have tried to get a diagnosis for years. Mine took about a year, but yeah, I mean, I would recommend getting a mental health plan, going to your GP and getting a referral to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I was then referred. I got a psychologist who couldn't diagnose me, but helped me for other things, like diagnosed me with generalized anxiety and got me onto Lexapro. And it really started the healing process, helping process, I guess. But then, yeah, I went and saw another GP and got a referral to this psychiatrist who was then able to diagnose me. So yeah, I guess do your research, for your area or even like as far as you can travel, I guess, for a really good psychiatrist that specializes in ADHD, at whatever age you are. So whether it's like youth or teen ADHD or adult, mine specializes in adult ADHD. And then, yeah, really try and get in with them. They often have wait lists. So get on that wait list. Do everything you can to get the ball rolling. Definitely don't expect an appointment next week. Although depending on where you live, you may get in sooner than others. I just know in Victoria, it's very difficult to get in. And then, yeah, I guess, you know, do all you can to help yourself. And there's plenty of books out there and there's lots of resources online with strategies you can do if you do think you have ADHD. Meditation's one of them. But yeah, it's definitely worth doing that. Someone asked what helps if I don't have medication from the doctor. Well, I was taught to practice mindfulness and do a lot of meditation to bring yourself back, calm your mind down, clear your mind a bit, you know, and bring that nervous energy and the central nervous system back down to just like a happy area where your brain can function and doesn't have to be thinking of a million things at once. Even if you're giving your brain just a rest for even half an hour a day of that, I think that really helps. But in terms of like actual medical or proper like advice, I would recommend seeing someone. I would recommend seeing maybe a psychiatrist or a psychologist for some tips on how to manage your ADHD without medication, because medication isn't for everyone, and there are definitely other ways of dealing with it. I know someone that has ADHD and isn't on a medication and uses many other ways to, you know, deal with it. So how can I get diagnosed? I'm struggling with this because I show so many signs. So I honestly, again, would recommend just getting that first appointment with either a psychologist or a psychiatrist, telling your doctor. I had many doctors try to tell me I didn't have ADHD. In fact, the first doctor I went to they asked me why I wanted a referral to a psychologist, and I had many, many reasons, but one of them was, I want to look into my ADHD, and then they asked me about my symptoms, and he was like, that sounds more like anxiety to me, and I hate when, like, you know, I wasn't going to the doctor for that. That's who you go and see a psychologist for, a psychiatrist for. You know, I wasn't asking you to tell me what I did or didn't have, but he was like, I think that's anxiety. I was like, okay, we haven't done a proper deep dive here, pal. And look, guess what? I do have ADHD. So, but yeah, honestly, just try and get a referral, start talking to someone, get the ball rolling. Someone said, are there any medications for it? Yes, there are plenty and plenty of medications for it. You just have to find the right one for you. And it's very important that you are still seeing your psychiatrist, psychologist. I'm seeing a practice nurse while I'm getting my dosage right, because everybody is different, but there are definitely medications for it. You just have to be prescribed them. How do you get the idea that you might have ADHD/ how could I know that I have been undiagnosed? I just started putting a list together from reputable sources and from people on TikTok, whether they were psychologists on TikTok or whether they were people that had been diagnosed with ADHD that genuinely told us their story, and like I was sharing, and I had a lot of the symptoms that they had experienced, and I was experiencing a lot of the symptoms that they had, and you know, I was just putting together a list of things. And that's how you might know as well, if you start to relate to ADHD content creators, or look up some reputable sources online of actual ADHD symptoms, and then maybe talk to someone. That's how I found out, but obviously everyone's experience is different. Some people think that I use ADHD as an excuse when I'm forgetful or inattentive. How do I deal with this? I guess at the end of the day, it's definitely not an excuse, but it's not an excuse, it's a reason for it, and it's not a personality. Like, it's a lack of dopamine. Like, obviously I don't want to go too biological, neurological on you guys, but yeah, I guess people without ADHD don't understand, and they never will, and we can't expect them to. I guess just tell them, look, I'm not forgetful or inattentive on purpose. This is something that I find really difficult. And sometimes I do find it difficult to be attentive. Sometimes I do forget things, but like, you know, please take it easy on me, because that's something that is very difficult for me. I am working on it. You know, I've got things in place. Maybe you should start and maybe you can do some things to help combat that. Maybe you're doing that already, but I think, just having a conversation with those people, and it's quite harmful for them to say that, and it's quite insensitive as well, because they obviously don't know what it feels like, and we can't expect them to, but how are they meant to, you know, say, oh, you're just using that, your ADHD is an excuse again? But it's not an excuse, it's a reason, and I think they need to know that. Some signs you didn't know were ADHD before you got diagnosed. Literally every single sign and symptom that I mentioned at the beginning of this. I probably think the main signs were that I just thought, the main signs that I just missed were having a million thoughts racing through my mind all the time. Thought that was normal. Thought it was normal to zone out of conversations. Not being able to keep my room clean. Forgetting to pay bills, you know, like all these sorts of things. I just was like, yeah, I guess you put it down to being lazy. Like, oh God, you're an idiot. Oh, just like, I've got too much on my plate. You know, like I always was like, oh no, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy. But yeah, it was actually something more than that. Someone said, can you have mild ADHD? Like if you have some of the symptoms. Again, like obviously not a psychologist, so I can't give a completely accurate answer, but my guess is yes. Like, so my psychiatrist said that I have high functioning ADHD, so I'm still intelligent, and like a lot of people with ADHD are extremely intelligent. They just have barriers in the way of their learning. So I don't experience every single symptom. I experience some a lot more than others. You know, we're all different. Something that I don't experience is like the hyper sensitivity to sounds and noises. Like I'll get distracted if I'm doing something and then there's suddenly a loud noise or something like goes past. But I can, if I'm in an office and everyone's being noisy around me, I can zone them out and keep working. I know a few people with ADHD can't do that. So yeah, you can have some symptoms and not others. You can probably have some symptoms that affect you less than others or more than others. I think that's definitely a possibility. How would you describe ADHD to someone who doesn't have it? That is such a great question. I'm going to use an analogy that my psychiatrist used, and this changed my life, honestly, for many reasons. So he basically said, because basically, ADHD affects mainly the frontal lobe part of your brain. And he compared the ADHD brain to a neurotypical brain or a brain without ADHD. And basically, he said every frontal lobe, okay, say that there's an orchestra. In every frontal lobe, there's an orchestra and a conductor. In a neurotypical brain, the conductor is always there. He's always on time. He's never late. He always has his notes with him. He always knows how to conduct the orchestra correctly. And that's how it functions, you know? And then in an ADHD brain, sure, the conductor's there. Sometimes he shows up late. Sometimes he doesn't show up at all, leaves early, and leaves the orchestra fending for themselves, you know, having to play without a conductor, not being able to do it. Some then overcompensate. Some don't play at all. Some give up. And that's what ADHD is like. So some of the time your dopamine channels are functioning well and you're producing just the right amount. And then other times there's an influx and you produce way too much and you get really hyper focused. And then you have like dopamine reuptake inhibitors, and they can then be too overactive and take too much of the dopamine away. And then you don't have enough. And that's when you don't do anything at all and you get too distracted. And obviously I'm getting very scientific now, but basically that orchestra conductor thing that sometimes you're all good and everything's functioning well and you're all good. And then there's other times where you just too focused. And then there's other times where you just nothing at all, nothing at all. It's everything or nothing. That's probably one of the best analogies. If I was to talk through symptoms, I would be there all day. But I guess at the end of the day, to me, ADHD just feels like I have to try twice as hard as someone else isn't trying as hard, you know, just to get a simple task done. Mentally, emotionally, physically, like everything just takes it out of me. Everything is twice, three times, four times as hard. That's what it feels like. How does ADHD compare to other learning differences? I've heard it overlaps with some. Not trying to create tension or place value on comparisons. Genuinely curious. I actually haven't done too much research into this. I'm sure it does learn. I mean, I'm sure it does compare. I've probably heard similar things in the past, but that is something that I'm also curious about and don't know enough about to answer. But thank you for that question. And if anyone else knows, DM me for sure. Now, the last question I have here is, I would like to learn more about the diagnosis process and what led you to seek help, please. So yeah, pretty much answered that at the beginning. I honestly saw it on TikTok, and then, you know, more and more things I started relating to. And then I was going to see a psychologist anyway for other things that were going on in my life. And it was something I mentioned. And then we began testing. And then when I realized that I scored very high in both adult tests, I knew that was something that I wanted to investigate further. So yeah, I went to another GP and got a referral to someone that could definitely had more knowledge in ADHD in adults, and was then, yeah, able to diagnose me correctly and now medicate me. So yeah, honestly, my advice is just do it. Like, if if that, like, if you're thinking about it now, if you're questioning it now, if you want an answer now, just take the first step. Take the first step if you want answers. And even if you don't get a diagnosis, at least you know. If you do see a psychiatrist or a psychologist and you feel like they're not paying you enough attention or they're not taking you seriously enough, see another psych. Get a second opinion. Get a third opinion if you need. That's not uncommon. Yeah, don't give up. At the end of the day, you know you more than anyone else. I had people in my life, you know, like I would mention when I was getting tested for ADHD and they'd be like, oh, you don't have ADHD, don't be silly, you know. And I mean, what do you know? Listen to yourself and, you know, don't take no for an answer if it's really, really something you truly think, because again, self-awareness, hyper self-aware, we love her. But yeah, just definitely stay true to yourself. And if you want an answer and you know that there's something there, it may not even be ADHD. It could be something else. It could be something entirely different. But at the end of the day, you know you best. And it's important to put yourself first, especially mental health, physical health and mental health. You know, it's very, very important. And if there's something that you could be doing or implementing to make your life that little bit easier, then we all should be doing that. Why not do something to better your life if you have the opportunity to do so? That pretty much wraps up the end of this ADHD diagnosis deep dive episode. I hope you all enjoyed. I honestly rambled. I know that's the whole point of this, but it was very ADHD, ADHD, ADHD. I hope you all enjoyed. If there's anything in particular you want me to speak about in another episode, then I definitely can. But yeah, I think I pretty much covered most of the questions there, and you know, just my whole story from start to finish. So I hope you enjoyed. If you did, then please let me know. Slide into the Topics of Taboo DMs on Instagram or comment on the episode post. Don't be shy. Feel free to leave a review as well. It really, really helps. You can also rate the podcast on Spotify now, which is awesome. That's something very new. It really helps and it gets my podcast out there to more like-minded individuals just like yourself. So I'd really appreciate that if you are enjoying Topics of Taboo. And yeah, I'll chat to you all next week. Bye.